morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, January 9th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. First, a few headlines. Our guest today, Norman Solomon, we're going to get a little deeper into the... You don't know whether to laugh or cry over this one. Jeff Bezos, Amazon.com, The Washington Post, and the CIA. Does it get any better? I think we've got a musical here, people. Look out, Book of Mormon. Here comes Jeff Bezos and the Book of Amazon. First, the headlines, though. Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and the other tech giants have had to fight for their lives against their own government. Apparently, the word is in the wind that the internet will never be the same. It's the kickoff. That's the kickoff line of Christoph Niemann's lead article. It just came out in Wired on how the NSA almost killed the internet. Yeah, that's a little melodramatic, but he said it. We're reporting it to you, and Wired published it, so there you go. And some things were just not meant to happen. Yesterday, the Port of Portland officials said that they would not proceed with developing marine terminals on West Hayden Island. Of course, they blamed the city for requiring them to actually pay fair market price. The next thing not meant to happen is the Columbia River crossing. And just days before the holiday recess, Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Senator Robert Menendez introduced Bill 1881, the so-called Nuclear Weapons Free Iran Act of 2013. And of course, we all know what that means. More sanctions for Iran and virtually impossible conditions slapped onto a final deal. If the bill goes to vote and passes, it promises to destroy all the diplomatic progress that has been made, over the heads of Obama. That's Bill 1881. Keep your eye on it. Yesterday, Portland City Council voted 4-0 to approve the city auditor's package of proposed reforms intended to strengthen oversight of, wait for it, the cops, of course. Oversight of the police? Probably not. Not while the police union is still calling the shots. And apparently, Portland commissioners are okay with gargling fluoride, but recoil from fluoride emissions into the atmosphere. Intel and the DEQ have been in closed-door talks for months on how to move forward after revelations that the company failed to disclose its fluoride emissions for decades. And days before Castleton, we mentioned this yesterday, I want to draw a line under it. We never actually were able to talk about it, but days before the Castleton oil train explosion, President Obama signed a bill that opens the floodgates, as it were, for more fracking permits on North Dakota public land. The Dakotas are virtually in ruins, and we have just probably a few years before they look from the air exactly like the tar sands fields of northern Alberta. Take a look. It's shocking. Sanctions on Iran, of course, are hard to resist even for Democratic lawmakers. It's just so hard to pass up world-class demon. And we'll talk tomorrow with Robert Naiman of Just Foreign Policy about that very thing. National Weather Services, got a few notes for us before we speak with Norman Solomon. Tonight, highs near 47. And south-southwest winds 8 to 11. It's going to basically bucket down rain most of the day. Tonight, occasional rain, lows around 44. South-southwest winds 11 to 15, gusting up to 21 for tomorrow. Rain's likely, mostly during the day. It'll high around 53. South wind 9 to 15, again gusting up to the low 20 miles per hour. And for tomorrow night, rain, lows around 50, and south wind 15 miles per hour. The alternative forecast, first quarter fruit moon in Aries. The moon is 8 days old. It's a good the synodic forecast If you want to get some seeds started on the windowsill, in the greenhouse, perhaps even outside, go for internal seed-bearing fruits, the dynamic, biodynamic outlook with a moon in Aries. It's a fire sign, and they suggest fruiting plants. The sidereal forecast, moon in Aries, dry and barren, good time for what else? Garden maintenance. That's it for both your alternative and conventional forecasts. And before we get to some stories from around the Northwest, of course, there is the tree sit situation ongoing, reported by other stations as well. Here we have the good guys, and here we have the other good guys. So we're going to report in a fair and balanced way contra tree sit voices. It's two chaps who are apparently forestry experts who are suggesting that they're going to log the natural way. Well, the trouble with that is most forests don't include logging as part of their natural lifespan. And therefore, any suggestion of logging in these areas is not in the best interest. They say they're going to leave some of the oldest, largest trees standing. Reason why they're the oldest and largest trees and they're still standing is because they have other trees around them. These types of trees have evolved over millions of years to grow that way. Large trees require the others around them. They require a community. Seems that these days people have a hard time understanding how it could be that a living organism could be dependent upon its own community for its longevity and its health. Anyway, sit on, tree sitters, and perhaps shut up, some of you forestry experts. And that said, we are going to now take a look at the East Coast and what we have percolating out there with the Washington Post, Amazon.com, and its ringleader, Jeff Bezos. Of course, Langley's finest, the CIA. It just doesn't get any stranger. Good morning, Norman. Thanks so much for being with us. I guess, of course, Norman Solomon joins us, and we're very happy to welcome you to the KBOO airwaves.
Yes, thank you. I'm representing here RootsAction.org, a national group that now has about 400,000 active members. And you can find out more about RootsAction.org. You know, go to the site at RootsAction.org. And what you're referring to is the fact that Jeff Bezos, the founder, CEO, and main stakeholder in Amazon, is now the only owner of the Washington Post. He bought the Washington Post newspaper about 5 months ago. And your reference to the CIA is referring to the fact that Amazon last year signed a $600 million contract with the Central Intelligence Agency for what are called computing cloud services. So when you lay those facts end to end, you have the reality that the only owner of the Washington Post now is also the main stakeholder as well as CEO and founder of the Amazon company, which has this very big contract with the CIA. And the implications, I think, are very troubling. And so at RootsAction.org, we have launched a petition, which I think is a very minimal urging of the Washington Post to include a disclaimer in all of its coverage of, its significant coverage of the CIA, informing readers that the newspaper, the Washington Post, is owned only by Jeff Bezos, and that he, as CEO and main stakeholder of Amazon, has a huge stake and skin in the game, as the saying goes, with the Central Intelligence Agency. $600 million is substantial. It's a multi-year contract. Keep in mind that Bezos personally purchased the Washington Post for less than half that amount, $250 million. So we're talking a lot of money, and perhaps most corrosively, this is just the start, because Mr. Bezos and Amazon have made clear that is just the beginning of what they hope will be, in the words of the Amazon company, a successful relationship with the CIA. So this could be, and they are seeking for it to be, just the start. What does this all boil down to? Newspapers are supposed to, journalism is supposed to expose secrets. Amazon is being paid a fortune, and then some, to help the CIA keep secrets. And this is a very troubling confluence of economic and political and media power.
It seems an utterly over the top. If it's not illegal, then you have to wonder. I wanted to ask you about the petition. You wanted to deliver it to, as I understand, Martin Baron, the Washington Post editor in chief. He's the top editor, and he apparently declined a request for a brief meeting to receive the Roots Action petition because the quote that I love here is, does not seem to necessary or useful. Well, I would think it would be absolutely in the name of transparency and accountability, two words that seem to be gratuitously tossed around these days. Nonetheless, Baron says that the post-disclosure policy says, we routinely disclose corporate conflicts when they were directly relevant to our coverage. How can this not be relevant?
Yes, I think that's part of the dilemma. And as you say, and the quote from him is, regards our request for a meeting, I will be on Wednesday, January 15th, be delivering the petition, which now has 32,000 signers' names on them, as well as thousands of comments, directly to the headquarters of the Washington Post in Washington, D.C. How could, as you say, this not be relevant, this financial conflict of interest, relevant to stories of substance about the CIA? And let me give you a quick example. According to the current disclosure standards of the Washington Post, if there's a story about CIA involvement or potentially involvement in torture or citing for drone strikes in various parts of the world or counterinsurgency aggregation of data, we have to presume that all that sort of information is going in the cloud. Amazon is being paid for second to none security for that kind of data. And if there's a story about such topics, then according to the Washington Post, it's irrelevant to the ownership of the paper having a financial deal through his ownership stake in Amazon with the Central Intelligence Agency. But by its very nature, CIA activities are secret, and most of all, the data that they would put in a cloud, of course, is secret. That's why Amazon's being paid the big bucks. So it all boils down to an unprecedented ownership situation vis-a-vis the Central Intelligence Agency as a financial interlock. And with reference to your comment about whether this is illegal, of course it's not illegal. Those who have, you know, it's the golden rule. Those who have the gold make the rules. And this is, by any and all accounts, totally legal. It's just journalistically highly problematic, to put it mildly. And, you know, you mentioned this as an East Coast phenomenon, but of course, many people listening to KBOO right now read the Washington Post every day online.
Oh, I just meant to shift our focus from our from usual Cascadia stuff. This does indeed affect all of us. And the thing, too, is that let's give the information about the petition once more, because don't forget, people, it's the 15th. We're out of time. Norman Solomon, thank you very much for joining us. I'd like to have you back tomorrow. I've got questions about Martin Baron, editor-in-chief at the WAPO. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, January 9th, 2014. Rock Bergeron engineered the show today. Thank you so much for that, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flash. flashpoints, the CIA's new corporate relationship with the Washington Post. Also, a California Superior Court judge issues his final verdict, ordering Sherwin-Williams National Lead and ConAgra to pay $1.15 billion into a fund to remove lead paint from homes in 10 counties and cities in California. And the Women in White of Santa Rosa call for justice for Andy Lopez at a Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. The executive editor of the Washington Post has responded to a petition urging the Post to be fully candid with its readers about the fact that the newspaper's new owner, Jeff Bezos, is the founder and CEO of, yes, Amazon, which recently landed a $600 million contract with the CIA. More than 30,000 people have signed the petition launched by the activist group RootsAction.org and scheduled for delivery to the Post headquarters in Washington on January 15th. The petition notes that a basic principle of journalism is to acknowledge when the owner of a media outlet has a major financial relationship with the subject of coverage. Today, Roots Action released the full text of email correspondence between the group's co-founder, Norman Solomon, and the Washington Post's